Amen. How we want the Almighty to fill our lungs and give us new life. And it comes when he speaks into our being for daily, not to be complacent with life as it is, but to have a real sense of pursuing the promises of God and what they may be saying to us. I know I talk a lot about that, but it just seemed like the Lord kept bringing it back to me. If we don't stand on the word of God, what do we have to stand on? But to wait on him and to realize he fulfills the word that he has spoken to us. And, you know, there may be sometimes barriers to overcoming, and promises may at times be delayed, but they are not denied. So stand still in your faith as you move forward, looking and anticipating, beholding the salvation of the Lord. I have some pictures to share with you that they're going to bring up just to establish some concreteness, and pictures have a way of doing that, of his previous fulfillment of promises. Remembering the scripture as we already read them, the word of our God stands forever, and the word of the Lord is proven true. So what is he promising to us? Besides what we've already talked about, this whole plan of redemption. You know, this one who has created us, he knows what we need. I mean, if anybody does, he does. But the fact that he came as Christ to live among us, who himself had needs as fully human, though fully divine, then he knows too what we have need of. And so he's given us promises that covers it all. He promises to make a way. And yes, Emily, this one's special for you, okay? God will make a way, whether it's emotionally, financially, in every way that you need a way made, he will make it. I'm thankful that can be not only individually, but as a whole church, our needs as a church. He makes a way. Even as he did every time I would slip off the mud roads on the way to the clinic, there were always oxen or something that could be brought to my rescue and pull me out there in Lesotho, Africa. And I love that scripture. And that's one of the promises he gave me, Psalms 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Whatever he needs to bring to pass. When our way's committed to him, then he's right there with us. So let me ask you, what needs to be brought to pass in your life? It may be something different for each one of us. Make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of trust. Make it a matter of seeking the Spirit of God. And trusting that he will so bless his word to your life that you will have the confidence that he is in the process of bringing it to pass. He also promises to give us direction, and all of us need that in life. And then there's always a promise to follow any directive that he's given, that he will enable us to fulfill whatever directive that is. I love the Isaiah 30, 21. My mother has said it over and over again. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. That sort of sounds like a God-saturated conscience, doesn't it? When you're in the word and he's able to guide. But then he gives a promise for the guidance. And with me, as he guided me to Lesotho, Africa, one of the main promises was Psalm 139, 9 and 10. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I'm standing there at my fifth birthday. When the Lord called me to go as a missionary to Africa. And from then until 1981, when I flew away, I saw the wings of the plane as similar to that scripture that he had given me, that if I take the wings of the morning. And I thought, oh, yes, it may be the wings of a plane Thursday. But wherever, however, He keeps his promises to us. His callings are his enablings. And you know, I'm using my life as a personal example because I know myself better probably than most people do. And it's just a voice, not of what we do, but what God does in us and through us. And I just think if we could somehow conceive in our minds the millions of people through the centuries who have taken God at his word, and God did not disappoint them. God was faithful every step of the way. And that is what I want my life to be, a testimony of God's faithfulness. And so as you seek him, personally in your life, because I know he wants the best for all of us. He wants to support us in whatever he leads our lives into. And there he gives us his word. Now, your direction may not be to Lesotho, Africa. But if God goes that far, he can go tomorrow to you to work. He can go wherever you go to lead unerringly in your life to possess the promise of God. He cares about what kind of placement you're in at your work. And he cares that because you spend hours of your life there. So he wants it to either make it the very best it can be or for you to find a place where you can be your best fit for him. And he certainly will be faithful. And yet in every life, there are barren times. Is anybody there today? Don't raise your hand. But sometimes there are just barren times in life. Maybe it's hard to get your prayers through. Or maybe resources are lean and it's just hard to balance that checkbook. This is the first home I had in Lesotho, Africa. And I left from summer here with the beautiful greenery of Tennessee to barrenness. And even though your physical surroundings are not as significant as your inner realities, at the same time, they sort of represented to me the fact that, oh my, this seems like a barren place. Where are the church steeples? You know, where are the people following God? There were so few. But that realization, even in the barrenness of places, that he has for us that wonderful promise. And isn't it neat how God can sometimes resurrect promises? That's why I think it's so important to memorize the Word of God. If you don't have a book where you keep listing all the scriptures that you have learned or you read over and over, because he can resurrect them in your mind. And I remember feeling the barrenness of no English spoken, of no family there, of no electricity, no water, running water, hardly any water, period, much less running. And I remember the sense of barrenness, but that wonderful scripture that he resurrected to my mind in Psalm 34:22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them who trust in him shall be desolate. Wherever you are in life, no one who trusts in the Lord will ever be desolate. So even if things seem barren, we are not barren because we are enriched in the power and the word of the Lord. And may it just resound in your heart today in your possible barrenness. God also promises stability. Aren't you thankful? Several verses in Psalms repeats themselves. So I didn't have a particular scripture I put up there because over and over in Psalms it says, I will establish the work of your hands. So whether it was in the clinic where I worked or the Bible college or the church, to have this sense of something's going to happen here beyond me. God is going to establish the work of my hands. So for you, what is it that you're wanting established in your life? Building a life, rearing your children, wanting them to be more than productive citizens in society. Wanting them rather, or in addition, to be children of the kingdom of God. So hear the promise when he says to you, your efforts are not in vain. I will establish the work of your hands. When you hear that from the Lord, and he brings that truth to your heart and mind, then what a relaxing life you can live in the midst of busyness and responsibilities, because you realize God's effortless efforts on your behalf are making the difference. Promises exist for strength beyond yourself. You know, as you're involved in the work of your hands, I hope that's not too graphic. As you're involved in the work of your hands, you know, to realize not all that we do may be easy to do. And that was one thing in Lesotho I just soon I had to done is deliver babies when the midwife was gone. And I'm an RN, and I had informal training with an RN there, a midwife, for a couple of months. But I would just have rather treated and diagnosed rather than being awakened during the life and delivering babies. But are you called on sometimes to do things in this life that you really either don't feel prepared for, or you just really would rather not do it? Psalm 91:4, what a blessed scripture. And he gave this to me one day when I knew I was being left for the weekend, to one of the first weekends to carry on. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you dwell. What a promise. You can't get much closer to the Lord than under his feathers. You can't get much closer than under his wings. And to realize that he is there, you are surrounded by the promise that he will not leave you or forsake you. And it's beautiful when we realize that we are being covered as we walk with the Lord. If that job to you just seems too demanding, or if that person in your life just seems to have too high of expectations, or that relationship troubles you at night, remember, you are covered. So breathe deep. Let your mind rest and get some sleep, okay? It's all right because you are covered. The King of the universe has got this, and he proved that to me over and over. The King of the universe also promises true fruitfulness. He doesn't always necessarily promise that we'll have this advancement, that we'll climb the corporate ladder, but you know, often Christians, because they're such diligent, hard workers and they really take their responsibilities serious, often do move in positions of authority. But what's so important to us is not that as much as that we are fruitful in our lives, fruitful in ministry, but also fruitful in bearing the fruit of the Spirit, of the love, the joy, the patience. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 is a wonderful promise he gave me for the church work. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out on the right and on the left. And even as he did that in Lesotho, Africa, and that's one of our tent special services that we had for the church people, he is doing that right here in our church. Isn't it exciting to see him doing it here? I mean, we're not holding back. We're stretching out our tent stakes. We're driving them in deeper. And he promises that when we do that, we will stretch out on the right and the left. We will grow and continue. And there has been an enlargement of our attendance, of the property that we have, of the anticipated building, of growth in grace and depth. Of extended ministries, like the jail ministry, recovery ministry. You know I'd have to put that in there somewhere. And God is doing that because we're willing to stretch out our tent curtains and to drive them in and to continue to believe then that he will enlarge us. God promises fruitfulness for the church. He promises it in our lives. And as we're stretching out, he promises to take the ultimate responsibility. Well, what a relief. Why didn't you say that to start with? 1 Corinthians 2:6, some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Whether it's church work, homework, career work, country, county, whatever work it is, none of us bears the ultimate responsibility. And sometimes we live like we do, don't we? We were not created to be little gods running around fixing everything, although some of us sometimes try. We would be overwhelmed with trying to do that. But rather, why not be overwhelmed with the joy of being workers together with God, knowing the ultimate responsibility of whatever we are involved in life is ultimately His. It is a joy when we realize that He carried the weight of the world on His shoulders when He went to the cross. Yes, we have responsibility, planting, watering, but remember, it's God. It's always God that makes the difference, God that gives the increase. And it reminds me of the scripture, Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So if you just feel like you're not quite up to it, none of us are for real, it's by His spirit, and He will make the difference. In carrying out our responsibility, He gives us the promise in the word of the strength of community. You know, we do our part, others do theirs, just like the previous scripture talked about. And so we even realize there are times that we help each other. You know, I could not have done it without Moponi Lataley. This was a picture of when I went back in 2012 to visit for a month. She was still there serving the Lord. And, of course, my Susutu had gotten pretty rusty, but she was free for the month and went with me as I preached in different settings. And I remembered back the years I spent there and how I don't really know if I could have done it without her. But I didn't have to. God provided. And she had just come to the Lord like a month before I went to Lesotho. So she was brand new in the Lord. It was a mentoring kind of relationship, and she grew in leaps and bounds and taught me the language. I mean, did so many things. We were a pair serving the Lord together. What friends has God given you in the faith? What helpers are there in your life? Or maybe what helpers is He trying to put in your life? And you may think, well, I can do this, or it's a sign of weakness if I have to ask for help. No, it is not. And it's a joy. Let other people come alongside when needed. None of us were meant to be in isolation. Two are always better than one. And I love when Paul declares in his letter to the Romans, when he was planning to come visit them, he says, I am coming that you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And isn't it a blessing when you get together and you just feel encouraged by each other's faith in the Lord? And then when He does come, they surprise Him. A group of them go down and meet His ship when it comes in. And he's just like, oh, how neat. And I thought, you know, Paul was such a dynamic missionary and leader in the church. And yet it just meant a lot to him that people met him as he sailed for Rome. Take steps to ensure that who God is trying to place in your life, or who is already in your life, that could really be a source of strength and encouragement and help, that you allow them to be. And at the same time, you have the joy of being able to be a blessing yourself in the community of fellowship. So as we are serving Him, He gives another wonderful promise, and that is He will complete what He has begun. You know, we are sometimes a people of the in-between times, aren't we? A lot is in process. A whole new school year is going to be in process here soon. But a lot is completed because it is a continual process. But He doesn't leave us hanging, floundering, wondering. He gives us that wonderful scripture in Philippians 1:6 as a promise that He who hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord. And that is His return. So that's sufficient length there, because when He returns, it's all good. This particular family here lost their patriarch, the dad of the family. And I had worked with him and when he became the president of the college in Lesotho, Africa. So when they lost him in an accident, that not only lost their patriarch of their family, which is very important in that setting, but also the leader of the Bible college. But it was so beautiful to see when I went back in 2012 that the son on the furthest right, that God had just led him and he stepped into that role of being the family's patriarch, and he had gone back to school and was a leader and a minister and a teacher. And as they sang as a family for me when I was visiting them again after having been gone several years, and just saw what God had continued to do, even though they had experienced some pretty major losses, I thought, God has this capacity when things need to be adjusted. He has alternatives, you know? He has alternate plans. When one thing ends and it's like, well, there that goes. What are we going to do now? He has another way. And to see the maturity of that young man and the health of that family in the Lord, regardless of what they went through, reminds me of that promise in Psalm 138:8. He will perfect that which concerns me. Even though it may not be the original plan we thought was going to be, he has other options, and he will perfect that which concerns me so that he can complete what he has begun. And you know, in our lives, God always promises that we will have triumph in life's challenges, not just in the normal daily routine of life, but when the going is steep. Are you weary today? Maybe you're not. You've had plenty of sleep all week long, and everything's worked out just fine, which we have weeks that are wonderful like that. But is it a little hard to think about going to work tomorrow, Monday morning? What challenges do you face that maybe nobody else really is aware of? Habakkuk 3:19 then is for you. He gave me this promise when I went to, not to Lesotho, when I went to Los Angeles for 5 years to work in the rehab there. And instead of the mountains, they were the skyscrapers of Los Angeles. When the scripture says, the Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to walk on the heights. Aren't you thankful for the enabling power of God, where you can face tomorrow knowing I can abound because in my spirit God has given me the feet of deer. If you actually look up Hind's feet, that's women. Hind is a woman. Hind is a female, thank you, a female deer. That's like maybe the Lord really knew women needed this because they're just doing a lot of stuff. But it's for everybody, of course, because there are other references to this scripture as well where it's male or female, but just the fact that tomorrow I can abound. One of the greatest promises that God has given us that I hope we all cherish, probably the most of any, is divine companionship. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, you could have a whole sermon on the promises of Psalm 23. And if you feel like you just need to get a hold of a fresh promise, because right now if I were to ask you, okay, in the last week, what special word has been touched to your heart? If you can't think of one, think, okay, today, that's my afternoon joy, is to read Psalm 23 and to ask the Spirit of God to touch a scripture from that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know, probably the biggest detriment to just receiving the word and letting it strengthen us is, like Pastor Daniel talked about last week, just sometimes just getting a little too occupied. When I snapped this picture, I was in the car on the road up the mountain in Lesotho, and you don't see a shepherd, but I can guarantee you a shepherd is there. I was waiting for him to do his job and get those sheep out of the road so I could continue on. Let me remind you, you may not always see the shepherd, but he is there. Look for him. Look for him. He's there. When you think of how many individuals and how many families have let the Word of God touch their lives, then how it strengthens our faith. And one of the last scriptures I want to share with you, I just brought it. It's Romans 8:28. And my three sisters and I had that engraved in wood because it was my parents' favorite verse. And it sort of became our family verse. all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Not everything within itself is good. And we think, well, why did this happen? Did God not keep his promise? He keeps this promise that even though not all is well, whether there's divorce or losses, whatever it is, he has the miraculous power of working all things together for good. And may you rejoice in possessing that promise today for your family. Know this, in 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4, his divine power has given us everything, everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. And so may I just encourage you today, as you stand with me, to let the word of God again, the ancient words, just be a real blessing to you this week. And may you be reminded that the redemptive story, as we have heard it through the Old Testament and through the New Testament, of his redemptive grace is proof that he keeps his word. But then when you begin to experience it weekly, daily, moment by moment, how we rejoice in realizing this is a God who honors his word. I want to encourage you to come tonight. If you have a special scripture that has touched you somewhere in your life, bring its story in the scripture and share it with us, because it can be a blessing to each other. There's so many we didn't talk about. I mean, I just had to stop somewhere. But bring them tonight so we can share them and let it be a blessing.